And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The very creation, the very beauty of God makes us want to just give him praise for who he is. Can we just praise God together for who he is? Well, praise the Lord, Bridgeway. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. One more time for the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. So glad that you are here. Welcome to our Columbia campus, our Owens Mills, Reisterstown campus, as well as all of you who are watching online. Today is our Vision Kickoff Sunday. This is the day where we announce what our theme is and what our direction is for the year. You know, last year our theme was Embrace Gracism. After my book, Gracism, The Art of Inclusion. And my prayer is that gracism will continue to remain in our hearts and that the seven sayings of a gracist will continue to be values, principles, and standards that we live out in the core and the DNA, not only of our church, but boy, in the world, we need more gracism. Amen? But, you know, as I prayed over the summer, as I go away for my summer break and kind of just go before God and talk to people and pray and say, God, where do you want to lead us this year? As I consulted with the Lord, I settled on a passage of scripture and a theme that I believe will lift your eyes toward heaven, elevate your minds and your hearts to another dimension. And I believe that this theme will cause you to go beyond yourself into a realm of discovery and mystery. I believe if you allow this theme to inspire you, it will capture your very imagination without putting any limits on it. And as you know, this year takes us into the next decade, doesn't it? 2019 brings us right into 2020. And our theme this year is Discover God. Discover God. We want to do all we can to help you and encourage you to see God and to discover God in everything around you, his purpose, his power, and his peace. And so it is in that vein that I want to pray now as we go into the message. Let's pray. Dear God, we pray this year that you will help us discover you in the storms, the winds, and even in the still small voice of your Holy Spirit. We pray today for those in the Bahamas and the surrounding areas who were affected by Hurricane Dorian, and pray that you will have mercy on the victims and minister comfort to the families that have been devastated by loss and trauma. And Lord, now as we go into this theme and as we go into your word, I pray that our minds and our hearts and indeed our lives are elevated to higher ground. We pray this now in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Together, everyone at Bridgeway said, amen and amen. The purpose, the power, and the peace of God can be discovered in the vastness of the stars, but also in the vulnerability of our scars, our scratches and scars. We can look up into the universe and see the lights that God has created, the sun and the moon. But we can also look at our own lives and discover God in some very personal ways. See, God is so huge that we may not ever discover all of him. I think after 10,000 years in eternity, we will still be discovering the vastness of the Almighty. Because he's from everlasting to everlasting, which means it'll take all of eternity to discover the magnanimous nature of his divine being. And being in the presence of his omnipotence and his existence, it will surpass the very extension of the galaxies, and it will surpass the very boundaries of the expansive universe. year after year, decade after decade, generation after generation, from everlasting to everlasting, I think God will always be revealing another part of himself to us. And I think that God will always be creating. Creation is not over. We serve a creator being. So can you imagine then what it will be like to be in eternity, and after 10,000, 20,000, a millennium of years, he says, oh, let me show you this. You'd be like, God, I didn't know you could do that. Wow. I mean, I think he's just going to blow our minds. And just for the rest of eternity, we're going to be in awe of how awesome and wonderful our God is. Having said that, I think it's important for us to understand that while God is so huge and we can see him in the big expanse of all creation, this same God can be discovered in the smallest of human moments. He can be discovered in the atheist's first question, and in the fully devoted disciples' last hallelujah on the earth. We can discover God in the wrinkles of our faces. In fact, when several of us went to Cuba, we were in Havana, and we spent some time having lunch out in this square, and there was an old lady who was there, and she was poor, and we were able to just spend time hanging out with her. This lady had so many wrinkles on her face. She let us take pictures of her with me and others, but I want you to just see her face. I want you to see the wrinkles in her face, and let's see if we can pull that picture up. And I think there's even beauty in the wrinkles. There you go. I see it. Look at that. Again, I don't know how good your vision or your view is, but see the wrinkles around her eyes and across her nose and across her forehead, and even wrinkles in her lips. Yet I just think they're beautiful, beautiful wrinkles. It tells you when you see her, though, that she lived so much life. Can you imagine the story of those wrinkles? Wow. And as I move on from that picture and I think about this God of the universe who creates a woman like this, I'm reminded that Jesus says when he came for the poor. If you want to discover God, you want to find God, it's not only in the great galaxies and the very expensive telescopes, but it's also sitting with, being with the poor. Mother Teresa reminds us that we can find Jesus in and with the poor. Here's the good news. The good news is that we can actually discover God. I mean, not all of him completely and not all at once, but he told us if we seek him, he will actually allow himself to be found by us. Like the scientist who pores over research data or peers through telescopes or even looks intently into petri dishes. So we can find God in every cell, in every star, in every scar. But the only way is if we seek him. We just have to look for him because he's there. And scripture teaches us that he can be found. God said in Jeremiah 29, verses 13 through 14, "You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord." He actually tells us we can find him. And he says it like this: you will be found by me. I'm going to allow myself to be found. It's like hide and go seek, but he allows himself to be found. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, "Seek and you will" what? "Seek and you will find." That's a promise. Seek and you will find me. In fact, Jesus commands us to take this idea of seeking and make it a priority. He says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So seek first. Jesus says, put it in priority order. But But the passage I really love is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, where God promises something to us through the Hebrew writer. He promises to seekers something very amazing in Hebrews 11, 6. It starts off by saying, and without faith it is impossible to what? To please God, but anyone that comes to him must believe that he exists. So faith pleases God, but if you're going to come to him, you have to actually believe that he exists. And listen to what it says, that he rewards those who what? Diligently or earnestly seek him. God is saying, if you seek me, I will reward you. And what is the reward of seeking God? God. He is the reward. If you seek him, he will allow you to see him. The word seek, the first three letters is see. If you seek him, he will allow you to see him. The reward is him. And for those who diligently seek him, they will find him. That's the good news. But it takes faith to seek God and to look for God. But God is saying, I'm here, I'm with you, you follow me, and though you cannot see me, your faith will cause your eyes to see that which your human mind cannot comprehend. God is saying your physical eyes are limited in seeing me, but your spiritual eyes will see clearly if you look for me. It's really a matter of consciousness, spiritual consciousness. Let me explain. When Bishop David Ogudu, a guest of mine a week or so ago, came by my house, and he was looking out the window into the backyard, and he saw some little white flags. And I was telling him what the white flags mean. What are those white flags, Dr. Anderson? I said, well, you know, when we moved into the house, we have pets, and so if you let the pets out, they can run to other people's property. But if you put a big fence around your house, that's one way to keep them from going to another property. But there's another thing that has been created that we use here. It's called an invisible fence. Has anybody heard of an invisible fence? This is when they dig a trench around the perimeter of your property, and they put a wire down there, and then they bury it down, and then they put little white flags around where the wire is. Then you put a collar on the dog, and then when the dog goes near the white flags, just about a couple feet close to it, it hears a beep in its ear. Now, if it continues past that beep, it will then cross that wire that's underground, and it will give a shock to the dog. And so the dog only needs to do that about once or twice. Come on, y'all, I'm not as smart as dogs sometimes, because it takes us many times to get shocked before we actually obey God. Am I right about it? But anyway, the dogs know that after they get shocked one time, they jump back and they notice the white flags. They may try it again, but now whenever they hear that beep, they associate it with the flag, and they realize, no, I can't go beyond this. And after a couple of weeks, you take up about 50% of the flags and another 25% of the flags. So he caught us at the house, the bishop did, with still some of the flags out. And then you take all the flags away, and guess what? The dogs always know how far they can go. And so it's important to understand that there is a fence there, but it's invisible. The bishop was fascinated by this, and later, just a couple days later, I brought him to the church to hang out with me and a few of the pastors and ministers, and one of the things we were talking about in my office was spiritual consciousness. And he was saying that oftentimes we don't see things with our spiritual eyes because we're limiting our minds to the physical. And so he said to the pastors and ministers, if I were to ask you how many are seated in this meeting today, you might say 3, 4, 5, 9, 10 of you. He says, but I see more than that because the scripture says we are among angels unaware. And so in the seen world, there may be 10 of us in the room, but in the unseen world, there could be so much more. You may see an empty seat somewhere near you. In the physical realm, that seat may be empty, but in the spiritual realm, there could be an angel right near you. It depends on your level of consciousness. And so when you are conscious of something that you cannot see, all of a sudden you see things with eyes that may not be physical eyes. And what the bishop was saying was, I did not know that there was such thing as an invisible fence in America. But now that you told me that that is there, I believe you. Even though I can't see it, I know that it's there. Even the dogs know that it's there. I still can't see it with my physical eyes, but because my consciousness has now become aware because of your word, I know it's there anyway. What God is trying to say to us is that we have to be spiritually conscious in order to discover him. He's always there, but we don't always see him manifest because it's not in the physical. But when you start discovering God at another level, in a different realm, at another dimension, you begin to see things that's invisible to everybody else. But because the word was spoken to you and you believe it, even though they can't see it, you know it. It's there. And you know it's there, you just weren't conscious of it beforehand. And every time we discover another aspect of God, a new part of his eternal being is revealed to us. The invisible fence was revealed. Had I not told him, he would not have known. God says, there are things that I'm going to tell you that otherwise you would never know. Not because it's not true, not because it's not there, but because it has not yet been revealed to you. God is a God of revelation. One of the reasons we come to church is because when God brings the body together and the spirit begins to move where two or three are gathered in his name, God then takes his word and he begins to reveal things to you that otherwise you might not be able to see on your own. But understand, while God delights in revelation so that we can discover him, his purpose and his power and his peace, understand that the beauty in all of this is that actually God delights in revealing himself to us. But understand that revelation is something that God does. Discovery is something that we do. God reveals, we discover. God reveals, and we discover. And how it must make God feel when we discover something that he revealed. Like, whoa, that's so cool, God. And some of y'all ever seen that picture of the young lady and the old lady? You know that one? Let me show it to you on the screen. Now, you see a young lady or an old lady? How many of y'all just see a young lady? Raise your hand and wave at me. Come on, Owensville, wave. Okay, how many of y'all see an old lady? Wave to me. Okay, great. Owens Mills, wave to me. Okay. How many of y'all see both a young and an old lady? Wave to me. Now, don't you feel smart? Because you see both. You see something that others might not see until they discover it. It's been revealed. It's there. But until they discover it. So let's look at the young lady. Now, in case you saw an old lady, but you don't see the young lady has dark hair. We can see the side of her face looking over her shoulder, and her chin is prominent. That's a chin line, and then a necklace on her, and so we see her profile. Y'all see that, right? Now, if you, how many people can't see it yet? Raise your hand. Okay, don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. Now, if you see an old lady, what you're seeing is not a chin of a younger woman. You're seeing a big nose of an older woman. And the necklace of the younger woman is actually the lips of the older woman. It's like she's wearing a scarf. How many of y'all see the older woman? Okay, how many of y'all can't see the older woman yet? There's a few of you. Don't even worry about it. It will be revealed to you. It just takes time. You know what you got to do? You got to keep looking. Keep looking. Keep looking. Now, don't get all haughty if you see them both. I can see them both. I got a great spiritual revelation, and this person next to me, it's because they ain't as smart. You see, they went to public schools, but I went to private school. No, you never want to do that. We're going to learn about that in the series soon. But what we're trying to show you is it's both there, and if you're not sure, take a picture of it and study it when you go home. Ask somebody else what they see, a young or an old woman. If they see both, they get a gold star in heaven. Okay, now we're going to take that down. Here's the kicker. Sometimes, in order for us to discover God, we not only have to look for him and seek him so we can see him, but sometimes to discover God, we have to discover ourselves. Do you know there are some times where God will not reveal all of who you are to you because you can't handle you? That's a word, somebody. Sometimes God may wait till you're in your 40s or 50s to reveal something. You've been living with you for 40 or 50 years. And you're like, what? This is me? God said, yeah, I've been you all along, but I didn't want you to know that because you would have killed yourself. Now you're mature enough to handle what I'm about to reveal to you about you. God has a way of knowing when to reveal something and how to reveal it. But when we discover it, like, oh, Lord, wow. You know, it could be good things. Like, I'm stronger than I thought I was. I didn't even know I was that strong, but I'm still standing. Or it could be something really negative. Dang, I thought I was over that. I ain't done that in 30 years. I thought I was through with that. I did that. How can I hide it so nobody see it? But what God wants us to know is one of the ways we discover him is even by discovering and becoming more in touch with ourselves. In other words, one of the ways that we can discover God is in our bodies, in our pain, in our scars. Now, no one wants to hear that, right? I mean, we want to look at God in the stars, but not in our scars. Yet, when you are at the weakest point, and sometimes maybe going through the deepest of storms, it is in those times that God shows up in the most unimaginable and unorthodox ways that you discover him and that he reveals himself, where in no other situation would you have known him otherwise. And this is why when I was studying and asking God about our theme and the passage that would support it, God led me to the Apostle Paul, who says that one of the ways that God revealed himself to Paul, listen, was through a thorn in his flesh. I'm going to read you the key passage, and it's going to be on the bracelets you're going to get. You know, every year when we do our theme, we also get a bracelet that goes with it to remind you of the theme. And when you go out of church today, you'll get the bracelet, you'll get an annual report. And the cool thing about these bracelets, it says discover God on the outside, his purpose, his power, his peace. And then on the inside, it has the verse I'm going to read to you, and it's the key verse, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Oh, the other cool thing about the bracelets is they glow in the dark. Yeah. You can find God even in the dark. See what we did there? Okay, so here's the verse. Are you ready? 2 Corinthians 12, 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that what? Christ's power may rest on me. Now, next week, I'm going to preach on this passage. In fact, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at this passage from three different angles: his purpose, his power, his peace. Paul is saying, I had this thorn in my flesh. And I asked God to remove this thorn in my flesh. In fact, I asked him three times. And this was his answer, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Next week, I start a three-week series. I preach all three of them called Power Me. Power Me. The first one's about purpose. The second one's about power. The third one's about peace. Power Me. Here are the titles. First, from 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9a. Enlightened by God's purpose. That's next week's message. And by the way, bring all of your friends, or like we say, bring all of your Franks, your friends, relatives, associates, neighbors, and their kids. Next week, bring your friends back to church. Get everybody back in church. This is the time to come back. So next week, we'll have something special for them. And that was what you got when you walked into the auditorium in Owens Mills and here in Columbia, that invitation. Not for you, it's for them. Pass it to somebody. Now, on the 22nd, which is September 22nd, the title is Emboldened by God's Power. And then on September 23rd or 29th, the third week in the series, Empowered by God's Peace. So we're talking about his purpose, his power, and his peace. And the name of the series is Power Me. If you reverse those words, it'd be me power. Then reverse the letters, it's empower. Okay, see what I did there? Come on, I work hard on it. Give me some props. It's so dumb, but I bet y'all going to use it. That's the thing. And they're going to look at you crazy like you looked at me when you were at the dinner table talking about power me, but if you put the... Okay. After that, we're going to do a seven-week series. I love this. We're going to do on Psalm 19... a seven-week series called Discovering God's Glory. You know, it talks about the wonders of God in the universe. We're going to do 7 weeks on that, and I'm going to be joined by Pastor Dan Taylor, Pastor Eli Hernandez, and they're going to help me with that. I'll preach five out of the seven messages, and they'll preach two of them. And then now we're getting into, like, you know, December. We're going to do a series for several weeks called Mystery. And there we're going to have several of our teachers. We're going to teach live in Owens Mills, as well as live here in Columbia. We'll have Minister Nikki Lerner, Pastor Eli Hernandez, Pastor Angel Cartagena, Pastor Jared Sorber, Pastor Gary Coiro, Minister Tracy Tiernan Coiro, Pastor Dave Mitchner, and Pastor Scott Garber, our new pastor at large. Now, in the series that we're going to do after Power Me, Discovering God's Glory, I'm kind of excited about it because if you go ahead and read Psalm 19, we're going to focus on God's world, his glorious world. Then we're going to focus on God's word. And then we're going to focus on God's work. And when we talk about God's work, we talk about human beings. But I'm also the very last message of that series, and it promises to be the weirdest service we've probably ever had at Bridgeway Community Church. I'm actually going to do a sermon on animals. We're going to talk about animals and why did God create animals. Now, for those of you who think we're going to get really weird, I just need you to know right now, I promise this is not a message about becoming a vegetarian, okay? The devil is a liar. I just want you to... I mean, I love chickens. They sure taste good. So, I mean, no, seriously, though, if God didn't want you to eat animals, he wouldn't have made them out of meat. So my point is... Oh, I'm going to have fun with that message. Make sure y'all here for that one. But now what I want to do is I want to kind of shift from 2 Corinthians 12, where we're talking about discovering God and all these things, and animals and wrinkles and the sky. What's your purpose, God? Where's your power, God? How do I find peace in the midst of it? So all of this is where we're going this year, to elevate you to see God at another level of consciousness. So you're with me on that, right? Okay, so here's the deal. This summer, when I was studying, God led me to 2 Corinthians 12. But what happens to me a lot of times, and I don't know if it happens to you, God will download something to me that has nothing to do with the season that you're in. So he began giving me words, and I would just write them down. And sometimes I write them down so very quickly, and other times I can't even capture it. I'm about to fall asleep, or I'm on a plane, or maybe even in the restroom, or in my office, supposed to be working on a message for today, but God downloads something to me that has nothing to do with that topic. And I have learned over the years now, what are we, 27 years old as a church? From the time I started at age 25, I've always known God as the sermon giver. And I have learned, even if I have a message tomorrow morning and I got to get up at 4 and be here by 5 or 6, if God has given me something, I need to write it down. So that's what happened this summer with what I'm about to tell you now. I have a word for you that's coming out of the summer that had nothing to do with the theme at the time. And I've been asking and just wondering, well, God, when do you want me to, like, speak this? And do you know that while I was getting all my message together for the vision service, this morning God said, no, this is the time. So you may think that it's disjointed, but I need to tell you that I think I have a word for someone, and I don't know who it is. Now, in the earlier service, I preached this word, and people came up to me and said, that one was for me. I don't know if it's for you. If it's not for you, just let it pass. We're going to be done really, really soon here. But if it is for you, you hold on to it because it comes from the Lord himself. And the interesting thing is, it's in the broader context of our key passage. Our key passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And really verses 1 through 9 where Paul is talking about, I had all these great revelations and God wanted to sort of keep me humble. So he let this thorn come to my flesh and a messenger of Satan. I asked him 3 times to take it away. Okay, and that's how we got there. But if you back it up to chapter 11, I want you to notice he's carrying on a theme of weakness. But what we're going to do is we're going to pick it up from 2 Corinthians 11. And we're just going to look at the last 3 verses of the last chapter that brings us into chapter 12. And that's verses 30 through 33. Let me read it for you, and then I'll give you what I believe God has for you. This is what the apostle says. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and the Father of our Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of the Damascens guarded in order to arrest me. Verse 33 is where I want you to get. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. The Apostle Paul said, can I tell you this? It's not a lie. Let me tell you what happened. The governor of Damascus put everybody on lockdown, guarded every area of the city. They were trying to capture me, but this is what happened. I kid you not. I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped right through his hands. You see, I wonder when Paul talked about what Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. I wonder if he realized that God not only helps you handle by his grace the thorn in your flesh, but God's grace is also there to help you get out of a mess. That yes, while I have this thorn in my flesh, my grace is sufficient for you. But Paul is saying he also got me out of a bunch of mess in my life. Sufficient grace came to me when they were coming to capture me, and Paul escaped the enemy's grasp because of grace. Some of you are going to escape the enemy's grasp because of grace. The enemy almost had him, but Paul says, I slipped through his hands. You know, sometimes the enemy is trying to get a hold of you and you don't know how you're going to get out, but God can provide enough sufficient grace that you slip through the hands of the enemy. Has anybody ever felt like they were almost caught, but God somehow gave them a way out? And it says in the text that he lowered a basket from a window in the wall. Sometimes all you need is a window. You don't even need a door. You just need a crack in the window. Sometimes all you need is a basket. You see, the window is your way out. The basket is your way through. If you have a basket but no window, you lose. If you have a window and no basket, you lose. But God provided not only the way out, but the resources to get me through the situation. I'm here to tell someone today that God is opening up a window for your escape, and that God is going to provide the resources you need to get to where you're going. God is going to give you a way out. He's going to give you a way through. But I want you to notice something. He says, but God's escape route is to take you down in order to get you out. He says that he lowered the basket. Sometimes what God has to do is what he did to Paul. Paul said, I was lowered. In other words, sometimes God has to take you lower to take you higher. Sometimes he has to take you down in order to get you out. Your way out may be going down. Your way up may be going down. Sometimes you got to push a ball all the way into the water and it shoots really, really high. You look at the redwood trees and they're so tall, but you know they have the deepest and the widest roots. The further you pull a sling back, the further it goes forward. For somebody, I need you to know what Jesus said. Jesus went down to the lower parts of the earth before he ever rose again. And God's grace is sufficient enough to take you where you need to go. And some of you, you need to get out of something. You feel like you're right in the palm of the devil's hands. And God is saying to you today, I'm providing a door of escape, that no temptation has ever seized you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful to provide a way of escape for those who look for it. So I want you to start looking for the escape hatch. Start looking for the window in the wall. And God will put you in a basket. And like Moses protected in the water when his vulnerable baby self was out into the wilderness of the water, God's basket of protection is around you. Your purpose will protect you, and God will place you in the basket, and God will give you the resources that you need in order to make it through. You see, God brought me to your hearing today to tell someone that God's grace is giving you a way out, that his sufficient grace is going to provide for you a way through. God wants you to know that while the enemy is closing in, God is busy making a way out for you. You ought to be thankful if you know that God is making a way out. God can open doors that no man can shut. And God can shut doors that no man can open. I know none of us want to go down. But what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn it around and use it for good. In our worship, they said, you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turned it for good. I'm going to see a victory, for the battle belongs to the Lord. Somebody needs to believe that the enemy is not going to win, that they are going to be victorious, that even though it looks like I'm going down, it's only because God is trying to take me out. It's only looking bad right now, but God is working and God is moving. And so I may be unemployed right now, but I'm going to appreciate that new job when I see what God's about to reveal. Once I get higher, I'll look to see how low I was. I may seem like I'm at the bottom right now, but I know by faith God is taking me to the top. I believe in my heart that the power of God can give me the grace of God to help me fulfill the purpose of God, so I can have the power of God and I can experience the peace of God. But look out, because when God brings me back, I'm going to praise at another level. God never brings you back so you can do the same. He brings you back to take you to another level of praise. It's only those that know what it's like to be at the bottom that can truly appreciate it. If you've never experienced being lowered, if you've never experienced being down, then you won't know what it's like to praise God at a certain level. But let somebody who was forgiven much love much. Watch somebody bring their alabaster oil to the feet of God. Watch somebody's tears fall on his toes and use their hair to dry it, because their worship is so authentic they cannot help but praise God. Is there anybody that knows how to praise God for what he has done? Has he ever brought you through bankruptcy, prison? Has he ever brought you through a divorce? Has he ever brought you through unemployment? When God has brought you through something, you can't help but praise him. And the person next to you doesn't even know what's going on inside of your heart. But you serve a God that you discovered, not in the stars, but in the scars. And when you've discovered him in the scars, you praise him at a level that nobody around you can understand. But you knew what it was like when you were tempted. You knew what it was like when you were sick. You knew what it was like when you couldn't pay the bills. Just don't get amnesia. The worst thing that can happen is when the grace of God is so sufficient that you come out. He gave you a window. He gave you a basket. You slip through the enemy's hands, and then you caught amnesia. It's the worst thing that can happen. We forget where God has brought us from. And that's what Paul's saying. I had all these great revelations, and God allow this thorn to be in my flesh. Because God understood, revelation can take you higher, but then you can start thinking higher of yourself than you ought to think. But that thorn in the flesh will keep you grounded. And somewhere between revelation and affliction, I can find balance. Somebody is afflicted because that affliction is actually a minister, a servant to you. Because Lord knows what you'd be without it. I would tell you what, you know, earlier in the church life, you know, we rented for 15 years. And for 10 of those years, we never had a lobby. You know that? We were in a rented college built in like the 70s, so they didn't have any lobby into a theater. You just kind of walk in the theater and walk out. We never had a lobby. Like, man, wouldn't it be good to have a lobby? Churches have lobbies. Some of them have fellowship halls. We ain't got nothing but a theater. And we wanted a theater because of all the creative arts we do, which are like beautiful. But we didn't have a lobby. And so we had to get out of that college in 2006. We found this warehouse. We're working hard to build this thing up. And this auditorium that we're in here in Columbia, Maryland, was 13 months late. So we had 4 weeks where we were out of the college but couldn't get into the building. And so guess where we were? Some of y'all are going to remember this if you've been around for a minute. We were in the parking lot out here under a tent. Wave to me, even in Owens Mills, just wave if you remember the tent that we had for 4 weeks in like November. And it happened to be one of those Novembers, like it was a hurricane coming this way or what? We didn't know if it was a hurricane or the Holy Spirit, but one thing we knew, the pegs and the tents were almost coming out as the wind was blowing sideways. The tent was lifting up. And I'm like, man, this is the highest praise I've ever been a part of, you know? I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit. Maybe I was just preaching good. I don't know what it was, but that thing was lifting up. Do you know what happened, though? After 4 weeks, they opened the building, and while this section of the building in Columbia, Maryland, where our theater is, was not ready, the lobby was ready. So we met in the lobby. It'd be like at Owens Mills out by the fireplace. We met there, or in this building, right in the lobby where the Missions Cafe is. Listen, for 13 months, we put 450 chairs out there, 250 in another room, projected it, did 3 services. It was all tight. Guess what? Not one person ever complained. Why? Because they were outside for 4 weeks in the winter. Because God knew that if you skip the tent and got to the building, you'd complain about being in the lobby. But if I put your tails out in the cold, then when you get to the lobby, you're going to be so excited to be in the lobby. It's going to be no grumbling, no complaining. And then God's going to bless you from the lobby to the auditorium. And then he's going to take you from one building to two buildings. Now we got two lobbies, one in Owens Mills, one in Columbia. No one grumbles, no one complains, because once you've been out in the cold, you're just happy to have shelter. Once you've been unemployed, you're happy to get a paycheck. Once you've been in the hospital, you're happy to come home. You wasn't complaining about your home after you had to stay in the hospital. Soup tastes good at home when you've been on an IV for 2 weeks. All of a sudden, give me some ramen. I want some soup. If I could just taste the chicken noodle again. But if all you've been eating is steak, you start complaining. It's all the chicken noodle we eat. Chicken. It's all this salty soup. Can I get some? Can you make it Chinese? Give me miso. Give me something. People grumble and complain. And God says, let me take you lower so I can take you through. Because once you get out of the devil's hands, you'll see that what I was doing was moving so you could discover me, my purpose, my power, my peace. Someone needs to say, thank you for the lobby, Lord. I don't know what the lobby is in your life, but if you learn how to praise him in the tent, he'll take you to the lobby. If you learn how to praise him in the lobby, he'll take you to the auditorium. And the fact that we were able to pay off a $1 million debt this year from Owens Mills only being there for 1 year reminds me that God is still faithful. That God doesn't need a whole lot of pomp and circumstance. He just needs some faithful folk that say, all I got is tent money, but I'm gonna give you tent money. All I got is lobby money, but I'm gonna give you lobby money. I'm gonna give you, God, what is yours. Because I'm just so grateful for what you have done. Hey, listen, let me just close out with a couple practical applications. And then I'm going to ask Pastor Angel to come up in Columbia and Pastor at Owens Mills campus to come up in just a minute. I'll release you. But get these three down. Number one, commit to seeking God diligently in the wonderful and weakest moments of your life. In the wonderful and weakest moments in your life. Commit to seeking him. Some of you may be in those moments now. Seek him. Number two, commit to elevating your praise every time you see God's grace displayed, whether it's in your life or whether it's in the life of someone else. Elevate your praise every time you see grace. Praise God. It says that the angels look and they marvel. They marvel at the grace of God in our lives. If they marvel, the least we can do is praise. Third and final one, commit to helping others discover God by pointing them to his purpose, his power, and his peace. Commit to helping others discover God. How do you do it? Through conversation, through prayer, through service. When someone's going through something, say, what do you think God's purpose is in this? Not judgmentally. What do you think God's doing here? How can we pray for God's power in your situation? I'm going to pray that God gives you his peace in the midst of this storm. He can do it. Owens Mills, I'm going to let you go. God bless you. Pastor, take it over there. Tony, take this. I can go outside the box now because Owens Mills is off. I sense something going on in the house, and I know we got to get out, but other people can wait. Because when God is doing something very special, I'm trying to learn my best to be sensitive to it. So let me just ask you, if, what am I supposed to ask you? Does anybody know what I'm supposed to ask? Does anybody know? Okay, can you just hold the music just for 1 second, because I don't have a microphone. Just tell me real quick what I'm supposed to ask. Has the Lord spoke to you today through what I shared? What else am I supposed to ask right here? Yeah, seek first the kingdom of God. Yeah, I said that, but there's a question I'm supposed to ask. Maybe, are you seeking God first? Anybody else? The lowering of the basket. Ooh, there it is. Okay, if you feel like you're being lowered right now, and you may even feel like you're in the hands of the enemy, and God said, no, I'm slipping you out of the enemy's hands, and you're going to fall into the palm of my hand, and anything that, any person that God, the Father, puts in my hand, no one will be able to snatch him out. So you're going to go from slipping to never being snatched again. So God wants you to know that you're actually not going down for the in, you're going down for the out. And he's going to capture you with the palm of his hand, and he's going to hold you tight, and this will not be the end of you. This is actually going to elevate you to another dimension. There it is. Thank you. Thank you. If that word is for you, would you stand to your feet so I can pray for you? If that word was for you, let's seal this in prayer. The enemy is not going to get the glory on this one. And I love when you play under me. I just want you to know that, Wadi. It's so great that you're here. But in this moment, for some reason, it's just like I need so much clarity, because I feel like God's spirit is moving, and I feel like I need to pray this. And then, Angel, you can come up and dismiss, and I'll be out in the lobby. I'll be out in the lobby, because we got a lobby. We got a lobby. We got a lobby. I'm about to pray this prayer. If you're in the lobby and you can come in, come in. If you're at the cafe, take a minute. Anybody else? Okay, this is what we're going to do. It's a simple prayer, but we're going to seal this thing, and we're going to ask God to do something only God can do. You're already seeing invisible fences. You're already seeing at a level of consciousness that you weren't seeing before you got here today. Okay, let's pray. Go for it. We're just going to let you guys exit. Go ahead. God bless you. Okay. You ready? If you want to turn your hands to the heavens, you can. Lord, right now, these children of yours who have stood up in the assembly of the righteous, not our righteousness, but your righteousness, by faith, they're saying they want to seek you. They're saying that they see you. By faith, they're saying, God, that they heard you right now. And Lord, whatever caused them to stand, I pray that you would affirm it and confirm it in their life. Lord, whatever decision they're making, whatever thought that they are thinking that is all about your glory and your power, God, whatever person needs forgiveness, whatever person needs healing, whatever person needed an extra level of faith, like my sister said, seek first the kingdom of God. Right now, God, I pray that you would take people who may have you second, third, or fourth in their life. And Lord, I pray that now you will make them first. They will make you first in their lives. Lord, I pray that the devil's fingers are so slippery, he can't hold one person under the sound of my voice right now. Not one demon, not one evil angel. Lord, I am praying right now that they are literally in the spirit realm, slipping through the fingers of the enemy. Right now, I see it, God. I see people slipping, God. I see it. I can see it in the spirit realm right now, God, that literally the people who have it been in the hands of the enemy. They're slipping. I see their children slipping between the fingers of the enemy, God. I see their grandchildren slipping through the fingers of the enemy, God. Give them slippery hands, God. May no scheme, no, may no strategy stick to them, oh God. Oh, thank you, God, for slippery fingers right now. Thank you for a strong palm. The Lord, hold them in the palm of your hand. Thank you for what I see. Thank you, God, for the children that are standing, for the people who are watching online, for Owens Mills, God, for the folk that are under the sound of my voice. I thank you, God, that they will no longer have to fear being grasped by the enemy, but they can have peace in knowing they're being held in the palm of your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Together, all of Bridgeway praised God and said amen and amen and amen. God bless you, Bridgeway.